greetings of love to one and all tonight. Greet you in the worthy name of Jesus Christ. Pray that we've each had a good day today. I was out and about a little bit today and seen some of the countryside. I enjoyed the day. Thank you for your time of prayer tonight. Times like this, I understand you need a man to preach. I understand that. But without the aid of the Holy Spirit, without the work of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of men and women, our efforts are in vain. So I'm clearly conscious of that tonight. And I myself want to be in prayer, and I also pray that you can be in prayer, that we can all learn more of what God would have for us. Monday morning comes and we crawl out of bed and we eat breakfast. We go to work, come home and eat supper, read a little bit on the news, and we go to bed. Tuesday morning we wake up again and we eat breakfast and we go to work, come home and eat a little supper and probably do something that is pleasurable to us, a hobby that we would have, and then we go to bed on Tuesday night. Wednesday we repeat the same thing, and if we're not too tired, we may go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, but if it doesn't quite suit, well, we'll just stay home. Thursday morning you get up and you go through that same routine. Go to work, come home and eat a little supper. The wife will ask you what you did today, and in about three sentences you'll tell her, incomplete in your mind of what always happened. Go to bed, and you repeat that, and on Saturday, you'll get up, and you'll spend the day doing what is pleasurable to you, and on Sunday, you'll give a little time to the Lord. You'll enter His house into worship. Life moves on, and we become set, and we become callous many times. A.W. Tozer would have wrote a quote that I think is very pertinent today. A.W. Tozer would have died in 1963. So the quote that I am going to read to you tonight is over 60 years old. This quote is this: the most critical need of the church at this moment is men, bold men, free men. The church must seek in prayer and much humility the coming again of men made of the stuff of which prophets and martyrs are made. I don't know what you think of when I read that statement tonight. God is looking for men that are sold out for Him. God is looking for men tonight that are bold men. Men that have the fear of God within their life. He is looking for free men. Men that have pure minds. Minds that are governed and controlled by the Spirit of God. God is looking for man through which the very image of God flows through him. Men who are not passive. Men who are not afraid to stand for what they believe is truth. Men that are willing to be mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. We hear a lot of discussion today. In church life is not always easy, and I understand that. I'm made of flesh and blood. And I understand that full well. But I will tell you this, that the longer that life goes on, I believe that on this side of the house, Until we get a fresh vision of God, there is no use to blame the other side of the house. Because in my mind, to find a man that is surrendered under the headship of Jesus Christ, fulfills that calling of what God has called him to be, to have a heart cleansed, motivated by Jesus Christ. ...90% of church problems would be taken care of. We have the account when we think of bold men and godly men. You think of David when he was with the Philistines going to battle there in Achish, and the rest of the Philistines told Achish, David cannot go to fight with us because he is an Israelite. And if we're fighting against the Israelites, then he will turn against us and he will be our foe and not our friend. And so they sent David and his men, 600 men, they said, you have to leave and go back. And so they went back to their city, their village. And when they got there, the city was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. So what do you do? A man rejected by those you thought you were your friends. Your wife, your little ones are gone. And so he pursued after them. First Samuel 30 would tell us, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more strength to weep. Have you ever felt that away? Have you ever felt that away? When it seems like you have cried until there are no more tears. But there, the next verse tells us from whence he got his source of strength. And David was greatly distressed. He also was distressed with all his men. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes you may feel like just throwing up your hands and saying, what's the use? But God has a purpose in life for every one of us tonight. Both sides of the house, but I'm speaking mainly to this side tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you have given your heart to God. Maybe you think that if you give your heart to God, and maybe you have even become a church member, and you think that's all you have to do. It's kind of like an insurance program. Just so that maybe I can just get inside the pearly gate. I don't need to go all the way in, but just so I can reach glory, that'll be good enough for me. And so we go through life cold and indifferent. I have given my heart to God, and to do anything more, not interested. I pursue what I love. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you have become a church member. Maybe you understand all the doctrines of the faith and practice of your church. Maybe you understand that there is the need of when you come to church, of how you are supposed to look. You understand that there is a protocol. You understand that if you want to be well thought of, there are things that you must do. But there are things that I'm going to do on Tuesday and Wednesday and every other night of the week that I hope nobody knows. And somehow I'm going to get through life, and you cannot understand. why you don't have victory. You can't understand why there's problems in your life, and you don't understand why. Where is God? Why doesn't Jesus care? And we don't spend no time with Him. Maybe you're here this morning or tonight. Maybe you have a wife and family. Maybe you have been a faithful man. But along life's way, you have allowed riches. Maybe you have allowed the cares of pursuing wealth to make you cold and indifferent. Maybe you have allowed a man or someone else to cross your path and has done you wrong. And so you have unforgiveness and you have allowed bitterness within your soul. And you have become cold and a surly and a grouchy old man, sitting and paying no attention and hoping that nobody asks any questions. Maybe you're one of those tonight. See, you and I can see the faults in everybody else. But God tonight is looking at my heart. God is interested in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I reach the great throne, I'm not going to give an account for you. Neither are you going to give account for me. But I will give account for Marvin Schrock. And that day when I stand there will be no reasoning. There will be no small talk. There will be no sweeping under the rug, if you want to call that. All will be open. There'll be nothing hid. Tonight I invite your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I suppose tonight you can tell it's a passion of mine. But as you go through life, as a shepherd and a minister of the gospel, there is no greater thing to see than to see those that love God and to walk with Him. And you can tell by the walk that there is a joy within the bosom, there is fire within the heart, and there is a desire to be an image of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 3. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the gospel of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That gift I was given to Timothy here. That gift that was given to him, that gift of God that was given to him, I believe tonight is a gift that is given to every born-again believer. The gift of salvation. The gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling within the believer. The grace of God given to, available to every believer. The indwelling of the very presence of God enabling the believer to live above sin. The power of God to do the will of God. So that we don't have to walk around in defeat, but that we can walk in victory with Jesus Christ. In verse 6, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift." Now that word "stir up" means rekindling, to make alive. Boys, has your dad ever taught you how to make a fire? You know, when you go out in the woods and you make a fire. You get down, you make your little, put the wood there. You get that, you put your match there and that little kindling wood. And you get down there and you start blowing. You blow oxygen down there where the little flame is. Pretty soon that flame becomes bigger because it has oxygen. That is what the scripture is saying. Stir up. You add fuel. You add life. You add oxygen. Stir up the gift. It is common in men that we grow cold and indifferent. It is that stirring that we need to do continually, day by day. A refreshing from the Word of God. That refreshing of the Holy Spirit in filling and empowering and giving us new life. Freshness. The scripture talks about a well springing, flowing over. That's what stirring up does. Gives freshness of life. Takes away dearth. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. Timothy here would have had a mother that was godly. He would have had a grandmother that was godly. He would have had a grandmother that renounced sin and loved truth. But Timothy here would have had a Greek father. He would have had a father that did not love the Lord as his wife. And I want to ask you something this morning. Men, if you were to ask your children tonight, if you go home and you would ask your children whose faith they look up to, when your children think of you and your wife, whose faith do they look up to? If we want to build church as God would desire us to build church, where we would have men that are strongly established in truth, that understand godliness, the need of a transparent life, a life that is true blue to every one of your children. I'm not talking about tonight where a mother has that love and compassion, the bond with her children. I'm not talking about that. I'm not diminishing that because I understand the bond that a mother has with her children. But I'm talking tonight about children that look up to know who is they look up to in your home as bulwarks, who understand and live out truth. Do your children, whenever they need a question answered, do they go to Uncle Bob or do they go to Aunt Lucy? Where do they go? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice? Not at all, because he didn't have a godly father, and there needed to be someone to teach the young lad. Praise God. But tonight, you and I profess to be saintly fathers. And are we that? Do we take the God-given role that God has placed upon every born-again husband as he is established in truth? So when we think about that free gift tonight, how do we value that free gift that has been given to every one of us? We live in a Western culture and a Western society that anything that is free, something that you don't have to work for, something that doesn't take sweat and tears to get, then it's just not right. And you know, the free gift of salvation is free for all, but it costs all that we have. It costs self. Quench not the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Many men tonight, and myself included, the tendency of life is to let our fire burn low. To let the fire burn just to a flicker. Maybe just a few live coals, but not much more. At times, I've wondered what it would be like if there were husbands that loved truth, that loved God, that had all else, no fear of anything else. Then if we had that, the young men wouldn't have to look to see where you get the power to have to have an example of how to live. Oh, but you know, Lord, I shot a moose. It was 58 inches. Oh, it was a beauty. It had four brow tines. It was awesome. And Lord, you know, the business has grown. Well, we've had business for 15 years and we've grown every year. I've been a good steward. Do you think when you and I stand on judgment day, that's really what we're going to be interested in? Tonight, if you and I are sincere, if you and I have a sincere desire to walk in victory, there are two things in this scripture that I believe are key things that keep you and I from having victory. The first one that I have would be in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. This word fear here means a coward. That is the literal meaning of this word, a coward. You and I both know what we think of when we think of a coward. Have you ever been afraid, boys? Have you ever been afraid when you were young and tender and Dad told you to go out to the barn in the dark of the night? Shut the barn door and you come back in. Well, you can't say that, Dad, I'm scared. So you say, well, Dad, can I take a flashlight? Sure, son, go ahead. But when you get to that barn and you shut that door, you may not be running, but you would pass a lot of little boys that were. That's how you would say it. Because fear, you want to get to the safety of the house. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Men are supposed to be macho. We are conquerors. But we are afraid of circumstances. You know, I'm afraid that if I open my mouth on this church matter, well, you know, I'm afraid of what's going to happen. When I get up to preach and, well, you know, I can't preach about this because I'm fearful of the reaction. Fear does many things. Fear is crippling. Fear is paralyzing tonight. Fear drives us and puts us in a box. And we're there and we're bound. We have in Numbers 13 where those 12 spies went out to spy the land. They sent them out to search out the land. Those 10 brought back an evil report. They would have said that we are as grasshoppers in the sight of those men. Now you have to understand that in that given day, that as I understand from what little I've studied, that an average Jewish man probably only stood 5.5 feet tall. These giants in this land, they were 8 and 9 feet tall. So they really weren't saying the untruth. We are as grasshoppers. I believe that Joshua and Caleb probably thought too that we're pretty small. But the scripture tells us that Joshua and Caleb had another spirit within them. And when they brought up that evil report, those 10 other spies, you know, all the people said that we would have rather died in Egypt in bondage than to die in this wilderness. Rather die in bondage than to pursue the land that God has promised to us. What was the result of that fear? What was the fear? What was the result of that bondage? 40 years of walking in the wilderness. 40 years. Oh, you know, we can't go to the land to take out the land because of our little ones. That's what they said. 40 years later, who was there? The little ones. And they had all died. Fear is irrational. When you and I know that we have sin in our life, when you and I know what I need to do, but I'm not going to do it because fear does not give proper rational thought. The only fear tonight that is rational is the fear of God, of what I would have talked about the other night. All other fear beside the fear of God is paralyzing tonight. But there is a remedy to that fear. There is something that we can do to overcome that fear. And let's finish reading the end of verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That Greek word for power there is dunamis. It is the same word that dynamite is taken from. It is the power. In Genesis 1, that said, let there be light, and there was light. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he came forth the third day. It is the same power that calmed the storm when Jesus was walking on the water there and the storm was raging. And Peter and then the disciples would have called out to Jesus. Jesus would have said, peace, be still. And one of the amazing things, as you study that account and that power of God there, not only did the wind cease, but the waves ceased immediately also. Many times, one follows the other, not instantly together. But the power of God can speak the word, and that power the nature obeys. Romans 10 and verse 9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power changes lives, it saves lives, it cleans lives up, makes us new creatures. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that raised Lazarus from the grave is the same power that you and I have at our disposal. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? We see this power manifested at times, present day. But wouldn't it be a glorious thing if the old men could have that power so that the younger men would have a clear example? And they would walk in those steps. Power. Said, let there be light, and there was light. The next one is, God has given us the spirit of love. Agape, divine in nature. Love is an action word. Mark 12 and verse 30 would tell us, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We are to love God tonight with all of our being. It speaks here of heart and mind. A mind that is free from garbage and guilt. A mind that has a freedom to process. A mind that is set at liberty, that it can think rationally. A mind that has a keen sense, but also the cleansing of the blood upon that mind, so that it can process and think about heavenly things. And with all thy soul, that innermost part, that part that is the connection with God, a soul that will never die, the return of adoration. We are to love with all of our strength. That power that moves, that power that enables, that doesn't give in. Ephesians 3:19 would say, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with the fullness of God. I desire that tonight. Because when I am filled with that fullness of God, that life, that love drives away fear. That love drives away the very thing that we are afraid of. The third thing that it says that the Spirit of God gives is of a sound mind. The Greek word here would give the thought of a man with a sober mind. Proverbs would tell us that the thoughts of a righteous man are right. We almost think, well, that's too simple. But if we are going to have a right mind tonight, that means that we're going to have the righteousness of God within. You can't have bad water and expect to have clean water. Neither can you have clean water and expect bad things to come out. What's inside is going to come out. A man with a sound man is a man of prudence. He's a man of discretion. Gives the thought here of a man that his mind is well balanced. Not radical on one side of the ditch or the other. And he is under right influence. What do you and I listen to tonight? What do you and I read? What is most precious? Do you spend? How much time do you spend where there is no noise? And it is only you and God and your scripture, the Bible. And you are in communion with him. And you get to about 10 minutes, you know, it's about time to reach for that thing, you know. Where is it? We got to find the phone, you know. We had a message come. I believe tonight that if you and I want to have that power of God within our very bosom, if we want to have the experience of God's love flowing through me and out of me, and if I want to have a mind that is sound, that has right judgment, that is under right influence, then I'm going to feed it things that it can flow without reservation. When I think of a sound mind and the thought of under right influence, you know, there's a lot of people that like to ride that verse that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But when you study that verse and when you see what that liberty is, that is when you and I return to the state of where Adam and Eve was created in perfect harmony with God. When you and I's heart is in same heartbeat with Jesus Christ, then there is liberty, because our minds think in the same wavelengths that Jesus Christ thinks. And that is what a sound mind does. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't know. I know very little about you folks here tonight. But a question that I would have for you young men: are you transparent totally with God and with mom and dad? Are you not afraid to tell them anything and to show them anything that you have and the things that you like to listen to? Can you do that without any fumblings, hoping that nobody sees you scrolling like this? God knows. I would have made mention the other night that God can see as well in the dark as he can in the daylight. And I don't say that to scare anybody. But what I am saying this, that if you and I are going to experience power, if you want to experience love, and if you want to experience a mind that is free to think in healthy things, then the things that you feed, the things that you think, the things that you see are going to have a direct bearing of where you go. And you can say,
Nobody will know. Pretty cool, ain't it?
And we're blinded. Your informative years, seek the way of God. Seek the way of truth. The second thing that will keep us from having victory tonight is verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimonies of our Lord. Are you ashamed tonight? Are you ashamed of your faith? Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you think the faith that you practice tonight, are you ashamed of it? Do you think that the faith that you practice is too rigid? Do you think that when you go and pass out tracts that you need to be careful how you do this? Because, you know, really, you know, we're pretty rigid. I would hate to make anybody else live just like we do. Really? Is that how you believe? I pray God there's no one like that. Because if you and I are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, then we will not experience the three gifts that I have just spoken of. See, shame will put you in a box. And if we're going to be honest with each other here tonight, there ain't a soul here that someone in our family history, in some dark, shadowy corner of a closet, there are deeds that have been done that you just wish that would not be there. But they are. I had more than one drunk of an uncle. They died crying out for mercy, and there was no mercy. Shame is that when you and I do not have a transparent life, we just don't want everybody to know what is going on. Shame not only puts you in a box, but it shuts the lid on top of you. Shame will tell you that you're worthless. There's no use trying because you're a failure. You can't have victory. You've tried before and there's no victory. Oh, but that we might have a shame for sin tonight. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There is no doubt in my mind that I am a child of God, and I'm glad to be his child. 2 Corinthians would tell us that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. It is a sorry that is not sorry that you said sorry. In Revelation 1, it tells us, in verse 5 and 6, says, from Jesus, the firstborn from the dead. Oh, it slipped my mind. I'm going to have to. There's a little phrase there that I want. And from Jesus Christ,
who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That tonight is what we need to possess if we are going to experience victory. To have that cleansing blood. To have that love that he has loved us with. And to be washed from our sins. The next verse says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. What do kings do? Kings rule. Kings give authority. Kings keep things in order. They give direction. That is what kings do. What do priests do? Priests are shepherds. They walk along beside. They give courage and strength. They help the feeble. That is what God would have you and I to do tonight. He would desire that we would be kings and priests for him. Those with a clear direction, a clear purpose, a clear goal. And that we would stir up that free gift. How do you and I tonight overcome this shame that it's talking about? How do you and I tonight overcome fear? But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. But be thou partaker of his afflictions. Get involved. Get off the back seat. Do something. It doesn't have to be great. But something for the kingdom of God. Don't wait for your neighbor. Don't wait for the man that sits three pews up. Because, well, you know, he's older and he's more mature. Yeah. Don't worry why somebody else isn't doing it. That's why nothing gets done. Don't dwell on the thought, I'll fail. No. The way a man can fall seven times and he can be lifted up again. How are we going to experience victory if we never try? Think of Jesus. Think of his grace that he has given to you and I. That grace, that power of his to do his will. If you and I have a clear focus of that tonight, of Jesus Christ, of his grace that enables, you and I will be amazed of the things that would happen at Sterling, Alaska, and what would happen at Pine Creek, Pennsylvania. And all it takes tonight, broken hearts, men with vision, men with a heart to live after God, to live life with that power, that dunamis power, that power that raised Lazarus from the dead when Jesus said, come forth, and he came forth. That same power you and I can have right here tonight. It's at our disposal. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, that you are the creator of all things.